Unit 2, page 34, structure of Unit 2, 2.1 objectives, 2.2 cardinal and ordinal marginal utility, 2.3 law of diminishing marginal utility, 2.3.1 schedule representing DMU, 2.3.2 diagrammatic representation of DMU theory, 2.3.3 assumptions of DMU theory, 2.4 law of equi marginal utility, 2.4.1 schedule showing EMU, 2.4.2 diagrammatic representation of EMU, 2.4.3 assumptions of EMU theory, 2.4.4 limitations of cardinal utility analysis, 2.4.5 practical importance of the theory, 2.5 consumer surplus, 2.5.1 schedule showing consumer surplus, 2.5.2 diagrammatic representation of consumer surplus, 2.5.3 assumptions of theory of consumer surplus, 2.5.4 importance of the consumer surplus, 2.6 indifference curve analysis, 2.6.1 assumptions, 2.6.2 indifference schedule, 2.6.3 diagrammatic representation of indifference curves, 2.6.4 marginal rate of technical substitution, 2.6.5 indifference map, 2.6.6 properties of indifference curve, 2.6.7 consumer's equilibrium, 2.7 changes in consumer's equilibrium, 2.7.1 income effect, 2.7.2 price effect, 2.7.3 substitution effect. 2.1 objectives. This chapter on theory of consumer behavior gives you a clear picture of the behavior of consumer of maximizing utility with its limited income. By studying this unit, you will be able to 1. Know the meaning of utility, marginal utility, and total utility. Page 35. 2. Understand the difference between cardinal and ordinal utility analysis. 3. Analyze the law of diminishing marginal utility and its practical importance. 4. Theory of equi-marginal utility and its importance. 5. Know the meaning of consumer surplus and its theory. 6. Understand how a consumer reaches equilibrium with indifference curves. 7. Know the effect of change in price, income, and price of substitute goods on consumer's equilibrium. In this chapter, we will try to see how a consumer behaves in the market. We all know that consumer is a person who is buying the commodities from the market with the income he has. Consumer behavior refers to the study of a consumer who is engaged in the process of consumption. It tells how a consumer tries to purchase different goods and services to satisfy unlimited wants with his limited resources. The main objective of the consumer is to attain equilibrium. He will attain equilibrium when he gets maximum satisfaction with the limited resources he has in the process of consumption. The economists have used two methods to study how a consumer reaches equilibrium. They are A. Cardinal utility approach and B. Ordinal or indifference curve approach. 2.2. Let us now try to know what the cardinal utility approach tells. It actually tells us that utilities that the consumer gets by consuming commodity can be measured or quantified. For example, when a person is consuming a product, he is able to tell the amount of utility in quantitative terms. An orange may give him 15 units of utility and an apple may give him 20 units of utility. Such a measurement is imaginary. On the contrary, in the ordinal utility analysis, the utilities rank like 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. So here the utility ID ordered and not quantified. The term utility is the one satisfying power of the good. Any commodity or service, either economic or free gifts of nature, which can satisfy want, is said to have utility. It is subjective, that is, psychological in nature, and it is a relative concept and it varies from person to person, place to place, and time to time. The cardinal analysis concept was introduced by Alfred Marshall. This analysis includes A. Law of diminishing marginal utility and B. Law of equilibrium, law of equi-marginal utility. Page 36, 2.3. Law of diminishing marginal utility, DMU. The law of DMU was developed by Alfred Marshall. The law states that other things being equal, as the quantity of commodity consumed by the consumer increases, the marginal utility of the commodity tends to diminish. The law explains the characteristics of human wants, and here is a single want is taken separately at a time that can be fully satisfied. 2.3.1 Illustration of the law. Here we've got a table in which it can be seen that as the consumer goes on consuming more units of commodity, the utility that it derives goes on diminishing. Table. Units of commodity is in the first column. Second, we got the total utility, and the third column we got the marginal utility. Units of commodity X, 1. Total utility of X is 15, and marginal utility of X is 15. In the second, we got the total utility of X is 25, and the marginal utility of X is 10. 3. The total utility of X is 33, and the marginal utility of X is 8. 4. The total utility of X is 38, and the marginal utility of X is 5. 5. The total utility of X is 40, and the marginal utility of X is 2. 6. The total utility of X is 40, and the marginal utility is 0. 7. The total utility of X is 35, and the marginal utility of X is minus 5. And below we got a diagram which shows law of diminishing marginal utility. In the table given, it's seen that as the consumer goes on consuming more units of commodity, the utility that it derives goes on diminishing. As the consumption increases from 1 unit to 5 units, the MU diminishes from 15 to 2. When we consume 6th unit of the same commodity, the MU derived is 0. He should stop consuming at this. If the consumer continues, he consumes more, then the 7th unit, the MU is minus 5, which shows that the consumer, instead of getting satisfaction, will experience disutility. Page 37, 2.3.2. In the diagram OX, axis measure commodity X and OY, axis measures utility of the consumer. The consumer here has a limited income, which he keeps on spending on consumption of X commodity. As he consumes commodity in the beginning, TU of commodity X will go on increasing like 15, 25, 33, 38 and 40. But it can be observed that the rate of increase goes on decreasing, and relatively the TU falls down from 40 to 35 as he consumes 7th unit. The MU of the consumer goes on decreasing from the beginning itself. It shows that as and when consumer consumes the same commodity continuously without any time break, the marginal utility keeps on diminishing and reaches 0 and touches x-axis at 6th unit, and the 7th unit, the MU curve goes below x-axis, which shows the negative MU or disutility. This is known as the diminishing marginal utility. 2.3.3 Assumptions of law of DMU. The law of DMU is based on the following assumptions. 1. Homogeneous in nature. The law assumes that the successive units of the commodity consumed is homogeneous in nature, that is, the taste, quality, color, quantity, etc. are same. 2. Continuity. The consumption of the consumer must be continuous. There should not be any time gap between the consumption of each unit, and it should be continuous. 3. Rationality. The consumer is assumed to be rational. He tries to reach maximum level of satisfaction with his limited income. 4. Consistency. The law assumes that the income, taste and preferences of the consumer, the price of the commodity, etc. remains constant. 5. Cardinality. Marshall also assumes that the utility is measurable. The consumer is able to quantify his utility. The law of diminishing marginal utility deals with only one commodity, but we all know that consumers don't consume single commodity, so the theory was criticized by the other economists. As a result, the theory was extended to two commodities, and a new theory called Law of Equimarginal Utility was given by Marshall. 2.4. The Law of Equimarginal Utility, EMU. The Law of EMU is the extension of DMU analysis. It is one of the important theory of behavior of the consumer. It is also called Principle of Substitution or the Law of Maximum Satisfaction. Page 38. It was first introduced by German economist H.H. Gosen, but was systematically developed by Alfred Marshall. A consumer has unlimited wants and limited income, and he tries to spend his income in such a way that he gets maximum satisfaction. The law of EMU states that, other things being equal, a consumer gets maximum satisfaction when he allocates his limited income to the purchase of different goods in such a way that the marginal utility derived from the last unit of money spent on each item tends to be equal. The law of EMU is based on the proportionality rule. The consumer, to get maximum satisfaction, compares marginal utilities of different goods and the marginal utility of each commodity to its price. If he finds that the MU of commodity A is higher than the MU of commodity B, in that case, he will substitute commodity A for B till the MUs of both the commodities are equalized. The consumer will allocate his limited income on different goods in such a way that the last rupee spent on each item gives him the same marginal utility. Suppose the last rupee spent on commodity A gives him less MU, he will withdraw the amount from A and spend it on commodity B. This is known as proportionality rule. This set two conditions for consumer's equilibrium. MU of a commodity should be equal to the price of that commodity. MUA is equal to price A. MUs of all the commodities should be equal to the price. That is, here we've got an equation. MU1 divided by P1 is equal to MU2 divided by P2 is equal to MU3 divided by P3 is equal to MUN divided by PN is equal to MUM, that's equal to constant. Here MU represents marginal utility, P represents price, K represents MU of money which is assumed to be constant, and in 1, 2, 3, N refers to different goods. Thus, the consumer will get higher total utility when he reaches a position of equilibrium. MU can be explained with the help of a schedule. For example, a consumer has rupees 5 and he tends to buy both apple and orange. Let us assume that the price of each unit of apple and orange is rupee 1. In this situation, it is explained how the consumer tries to reach maximum satisfaction. Page 39. 2.4.1. Schedule showing equi-marginal utility. Here we've got a table which is divided into 5 columns. The first column is number of units consumed. Second column is marginal utility of apple. Third column is total utility of apple. Fourth column is marginal utility of orange. And the fifth column is total utility of orange. Number of units consumed 1. Marginal utility of apple is 12. Total utility of apple is 12, marginal utility of orange is 9, and total utility of orange is 9. Number of units consumed is 2. Marginal utility of apple is 9, total utility of apple is 21, marginal utility of orange is 6, and total utility of orange is 15. Number of units consumed is 3. Marginal utility of apple is 6. Total utility of apple is 27, marginal utility of orange is 3, and total utility of orange is 18. Number of units consumed is 4, marginal utility of apple is 3, total utility of apple is 30, marginal utility of orange is 0, and total utility of orange is 18. Number of units consumed is 5, the marginal utility of apple is 0, total utility of apple is 30, marginal utility of orange is minus 3, and total utility of orange is 15. As in the table above, if a consumer spends rupees 5 on Apple, then he gets a utility of 30, and if he spends the whole of rupees 5 on Orange, he will get only 15 of utility. Suppose he spends 1 rupee on Apple and 4 rupees on Orange, then the TU he gets is 30 utils, 12 minus 18. Now, if he spends 2 rupees on Apple and 3 on Oranges, he gets 39 UTILS, 21 minus 18 of utility. If he spends 3 rupees on Apple and 2 rupees on Orange, then the TU that he gets is 42, 27 plus 15. This gives more satisfaction than the other two combinations. If he continues and spends 4 rupees on Apple and 1 rupee on Orange, TU will be 30 plus 9, 39 utils only. In the different situations explained above, the consumer gets maximum satisfaction when he spends 3 on Apple and rupees 2 on Orange. In this situation, it can be noticed that the MU derived out of the both the goods is same, that is 6 utils. So, when the last rupee spent on two commodities gives the same level of marginal utility, then the TU derived will be maximum. No other combination gives a maximum level of satisfaction than this. Below we got a diagram which illustrates the same but that is discussed above. Page 40. 2.4.2. The law of EMU can be explained with the help of a diagram. In the diagram, the utility of Orange is measured on the right-hand side of OX axis, and from the right to the left is OX1 is for Apple. The MU of money spent is measured on Y axis. In the diagram, the curve MU shows the money spent on Orange, and MUB curve shows the money spent on Apple. It can be seen that the MU derived from both the commodities are same of 6 units by spending rupees 3 on Apple and rupees 2 on Orange. 2.4.3 Assumptions of the law. 1. Consumer is rational and tries to maximize his satisfaction. 2. Utility can be measured. 3. There is no change in price of goods. 4. Income of the consumer is constant. 5. Wants and goods can be substituted. 6. Consumer has complete knowledge about the available utility. 7. Commodities are independent. Limitations on the cardinal utility analysis. The law of DMU and the law of EMU under cardinal utility analysis have their own limitations. 1. The measurement of utility is impossible because it is subjective. 2. The consumer will not have adequate time, knowledge, patience, energy and power to calculate MUs of all commodities whenever he purchases and compare them with the price. 3. It is wrong to expect that the consumer will always act rationally because his purchase will not depend only on market price of the commodity but also on desire, requirement, financial position, status, etc. 4. The expenditure made by the consumer is governed by customs, habits, fashion, social ceremonies, etc. Hence, he will not change his purchase whenever market price changes. 5. The laws cannot be applied in case of indivisible goods because the consumer cannot divide the commodities into smaller bits and equalize MU with the price, for example, TV sets, watches. Thus, there are several limitations in the cardinal utility analysis. 2.4.5 Practical importance of the law. The law of EMU has few practical application in our daily life, which is clear from the points mentioned below. Page 41. 1. The theory of consumption. The expenditure of consumer depends on this law. He distributes his limited income among the various commodities. This helps to maximize his total utility. 2. Choice between savings and consumption. If future consumption gives more satisfaction than the present, the consumer will decide to save his income rather than spend it. 3. Optimum utilization of time. The consumer will spend limited time among different alternatives uses in such a way that the marginal utility in all cases is the same. 4. Theory of production. The law helps the producer to maximize his profits By substituting one factor of production to another till the marginal productivity of all the factors are equalized. 5. Theory of distribution. This law is the basis for rational allocation of resources by a producer. He will substitute one factor input for another till the cost of employing each equals the marginal revenue. 6. Theory of exchange. A person with surplus products will exchange his products with another with scarce products till the marginal utilities become equal in the case of both individuals. 7. Theory of price. This law is also applicable in the determination of prices. A scarce good carries a high price. If we substitute other cheaper product for this product, then the price of the given product declines. 8. The theory of public finance. The principle of maximum social advantage is based on the law of EMU. The society will get maximum economic benefit at the point where the sacrifice made by the people by paying taxes is exactly equal to the benefits they derive from the public expenditure. Thus, the law has very wide applications. 2.5. Consumer surplus. The concept of consumer surplus was first invented by French economist Dupuit in the year 1844. Further, it was refined and popularized by Professor Marshall in 1880. According to Marshall, the excess of price which a person would be willing to pay rather than go without the thing may be called consumer surplus. Consumer surplus is the difference between the potential price and the actual price. The concept of consumer surplus is derived from the law of diminishing marginal utility, LDMU. Page 42. 2.5.1. It is explained from the following table. This table consists of four columns. The first is the unit of commodities, second, marginal utility of commodity, third, price per unit, and the fourth column represents consumer surplus. Units of commodities is 1, marginal utility of the commodities says 50, price per unit is 30, and the consumer surplus is 20. Units of commodities 2, marginal utility of the commodities 45, price per unit is 30, and consumer surplus is 15. Units of commodities is 3, marginal utility of commodities 40, price per unit is 30, consumer surplus is 10. Units of commodities is 4, marginal utility of commodities 35, price per unit is 30, and consumer surplus is 5. Units of commodities is 5, marginal utility of commodities 30, price per unit is 30, consumer surplus is 0. Total units, marginal utility of commodities rupees 100, price per unit is rupees 150, and consumer surplus is 50 units. So consumer surplus is equal to total utility minus price into quantity. Symbolically, CS is equal to TU minus in brackets P into Q, that is equal to 200 minus 30 into 5, that is equal to 200 minus 150, which is equal to 50. 2.5.2. Below we got a diagrammatic representation of the consumer surplus. In the diagram, OD is equal to price that is willing to pay, OQ represents quantity willing to buy, OD into OQ is equal to ODPQ, which is equal to total expenditure willing to incur, OR represents actual market price, OQ represents actual quantity purchased, OR into OQ is equal to ORPQ, which represents actual expenditure incurred by the consumer. Thus, consumer surplus is equal to price willing to pay minus price actually paid. So, QDPQ minus QRPQ is equal to RDP. Page 43. 2.5.3. Assumptions. The theory of consumer surplus is based on a number of assumptions. 1. The concept of utility can be measured. 2. There are no closed substitutes for the commodity. 3. The marginal utility of money remains constant. 4. Except price, all the other determinants remains constant. 5. There is no change in income, tastes, and preferences. 2.5.4 Practical Importance. 1. Compare the standard of living of people. Since the theory studies the behavior of consumer, we will be able to compare the standard of living of the people in different parts of the world. If the consumer surplus is more, the standard of living is high and vice versa. 2. Monopoly pricing. It helps the monopolist to practice price discrimination. If the consumer surplus is high, he can charge high prices and vice versa. 3. Public finance. A. Whenever the government has to impose tax, it can impose higher taxes if the consumer surplus is high and vice versa. B. It is the basis to declare whether taxation policy is good or bad. If the gain to government on account of taxes is greater than the financial loss to the consumer on account of tax payment, it is taxation policy and vice versa. 4. International trade. It can be used as the basis to import certain items from the other countries. If the consumer surplus is more in the case of imported goods than domestically manufactured goods, then it is better to import it. 5. Introduction of new products. If the consumer surplus is greater in case of introduction of new product than stopping production of the old product, we can justify the introduction of new products. 6. Pricing of public utilities. In case of construction, bridges, railway lines, airport, electricity generation, water supply, etc., people enjoy surplus satisfaction while fixing prices for these services. The government does not look into its production cost. As they are public utilities, the government follows the policy of price discrimination. Thus, the concept of consumer surplus is not entirely theoretical and imaginary. It has great practical application in almost all branches of economic activities. Page 44. 2.6. Indifference curve analysis. The defects of the cardinal utility analysis were responsible for developing indifference curve analysis as an alternative approach to the theory of consumer behavior. The original idea was developed by an English economist, F.Y. Edgeworth, in 1881. However, it was clearly developed by Professor R.G.D. Allen and J.R. Hicks in 1934. The final explanation was given by J.R. Hicks in his book, Value and Capital, in 1939. Hicks' analysis is different from Marshallian analysis. The indifference curve analysis tells that utility for commodity can be only compared as being greater, equal, or lower than with another commodity. Thus, it measures utility ordinarily. It explains consumer behavior in terms of a scale of preference for different combination of goods. It speaks about the total level of satisfaction. It takes a combination of two commodities into account while analyzing consumer behavior. Hicksian analysis is more superior than Marshallian analysis. It analyzes consumer behavior without assuming constant marginal utilities of money. It clearly explains the cross effect, price effect, and substitution effect when the demand for a product changes due to price change. 2.6.1 Assumptions of indifference curve analysis. The indifference curve analysis is based on certain assumptions. 1. Rational behavior. The consumer is rational in his behavior and tries to maximize his total level of satisfaction. 2. Ordinal utilities. Hicks works out different combination of two commodities on the basis of ordinal utility. 3. Scale of preference. The consumer works out the scale of preference when he can express whether he prefers one combination when compared to another, or is indifferent towards various combinations of two goods. Thus, he is able to arrange the available combination of two goods according to his preference. 4. Independent scale of preference. Scale of preference is independent of changes in unit price of two goods, level of income and habits, etc. 5. Transitivity or consistency of choice. Consumers' choice are transitive. Transitivity of choice means that if a consumer prefers A to B and B to C, he must prefer A to C, or if he treats A is equal to B and B is equal to C, he must treat A is equal to C. Consistency of choice means that if he prefers A to B in one period, he will not prefer B to A in another period. Thus, the choice of consumer is consistent. Page 45. 6. Non-satiety. The consumer does not reach the stage of saturation in consumption of any item. He only prefers more of A to B or B to A. 7. Diminishing marginal rate of substitution. It tells that the rate of substitution between the two commodities goes on declining as the law of DMU operates. 8. Constant customs and habits. Tastes, customs, habits and income of the consumer remains the same. 9. Constant market price of both commodities. Price of both commodities are given, known and constant. 10. Homogeneous and divisibility of goods. Different units of the two goods are homogeneous and they are divisible in nature. Meaning, an indifference curve may be defined as a path indicating different combination of two commodities which yields equal or same equal of satisfaction. An indifference curve represents satisfaction of a consumer from a combination of two goods. On the various points of indifference curve, the total level of satisfaction is the same. He is indifferent to them as he will be neither better off nor worse off in choosing any of these points. Each indifference curve represents only one particular level of satisfaction, even though the number of two goods varies at different points. Therefore, an indifference curve is also called as equal satisfaction or isoutility curve. If there are different indifference curves, they represent different levels of satisfaction. 2.6.2 Indifference schedule. An indifference schedule may be defined as a schedule of various combination of two goods that will be equally satisfactory to the consumer. It is defined as a list of various alternative combinations of two commodities which gives equal level of satisfaction to consumer. Below, we've got a table which is divided into four columns. The first is the combination, second is commodity A, third is commodity B, and the fourth is marginal rate of substitution. Combination is 1, commodity A is 15, commodity B is 1, and the marginal rate of substitution is nil. Combination is 2, commodity A is 11, commodity B is 2, and the marginal rate of substitution is 4:1. Page 46. The table continues. Combination is 3, commodity A is 8, commodity B is 3, and the marginal rate of substitution is 3:1. Combination is 4, commodity A is 6, commodity B is 4, and the marginal rate of substitution is 2:1. Combination is 5, commodity is 5, commodity B is 5, and the marginal rate of substitution is 1:1. In the above schedule, the consumer obtains equal level of satisfaction from all the 5 combinations of commodities A and B. Hence, he is indifferent with respect to any of these combinations which give the same level of satisfaction. 2.6.3. Here we've got a diagrammatic representation of the same. In the diagram, all the points 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yield the same level of satisfaction to the consumer even though the total units of the commodities vary in the quantity. 2.6.4. Marginal rate of satisfaction. Marginal rate of substitution refers to the rate at which one commodity is substituted for another commodity. It shows how many units of one commodity is exchanged for how many units of another commodity, without affecting the total level of satisfaction. The marginal rate of substitution of A for B is defined as the amount of A the consumer is just willing to sacrifice to get one additional unit of B by maintaining the same level of satisfaction. In the second combination, to get one more unit of B, the consumer is sacrificing 4 units of A. So, MRS of B for A is 4:1. MRS goes on diminishing to 3:1, 2:1, and 1:1. This is popularly known as diminishing marginal rate of substitution, DMRS. It is based on the law of DMU, which states that as the quantity of the commodity increases, its utility declines and vice versa. Page 47. Here we've got a diagrammatic representation of the MRTS. 2.6.5. Here we've got a diagram of the indifference map, which illustrates a number of indifference curves collectively constitute an indifference map. Here, different indifference curve represents different level of satisfaction. The curve towards left hand side close to origin A gives lower level of satisfaction, and the curve which is on the right hand side far from the origin represents high level of satisfaction. 2.6.6 Properties of indifference curve. 1. An indifference curve always slopes down from left to right. In order to show that the falling in the quantity of one commodity and the increase in the quantity of another commodity, the difference curve must slope downwards from left to right. If the indifference curve is vertical, as in the figure, the quantity of the commodity B remains constant and only the quantity of commodity A varies. In the diagram, it can be found out that 4 gives more satisfaction to the consumer and so will definitely choose that particular combination, but according to the indifference curve analysis, all the points on the curve should give the same level of satisfaction. So the curve cannot be vertical straight line. Page 48. If the indifference curve is horizontal as in figure B, the quantity of the commodity A remains constant and only the quantity B varies. With this, it can be found that point 4 gives more satisfaction to the consumer and so he will definitely choose that particular combination, but according to the indifference curve analysis, all the points on the curve should give the same level of satisfaction. So the curve cannot be horizontal straight line. If the indifference curve is an upward sloping curve as in figure C, both commodities A and B increases and decreases simultaneously with each other, but as per the rules of indifference curve, when the quantity of commodity A increases, the quantity of commodity B has to decrease, giving same level of satisfaction, but here it is against the indifference curve law, and so the curve cannot be upward sloping. So the only option that the curve should be downward sloping from left to right. 2. An indifference curve is convex to the origin of the axis. Here we've got two diagrams, one illustrating indifference curve can never be a straight line, and the second illustrating indifference curve can never be concave to the origin. This property is derived from the law of diminishing marginal rate of substitution. In order to represent the fall in the rate of substitution, the indifference curve should be convex to the origin. Page 49. If the curve is concave to the origin, as in figure A, the MRS will be increasing instead of decreasing. And if the curve is straightforward downward, sloping as in figure B, the MRS will be constant. So the curve should be convex to the origin. 3. Here's a diagram which shows that indifference curve cannot intersect with each other. Each indifference curve represents only one particular level of satisfaction if two curves intersect with each other. Each indifference curve gives different satisfaction level, and the law says that the consumer will choose a combination that gives high satisfaction. So, if the curves intersect with each other, then the decision would lead to confusion. In the above figure, points B on IC1 gives more satisfaction, and at point C on IC2 gives more satisfaction, and on point both IC1 and IC2 gives the same level of satisfaction. It becomes difficult for the consumer to choose a combination giving high level of satisfaction and to be transitive. So the curves should not intersect with each other. 4. Below we got a diagram which illustrates the indifference curve towards right represents high level of satisfaction. Page 50. An indifference curve towards right represents high level of satisfaction. As the consumer moves on from the lower indifference curve to the higher indifference curve, as his income increases. With the increase in his income, he would be able to buy larger quantities of both the commodities and his level of satisfaction also increases. 5. Here is a diagram which illustrates the indifference curve needs not to be parallel to each other. Generally speaking, the curve slopes downwards and they are parallel to each other. But the rate of substitution between the two commodities may not be same in all indifference curves. It depends on changing economic position of the consumer. There is no definite proportion between the range of different levels of satisfaction representing different indifference curve. It may or may not be parallel as the situation may be. 6. Here is a diagram which illustrates that indifference curves should not touch any axis. If the indifference curve touches x-axis as at point M, it indicates that the consumer is buying only commodity X apples, and if it touches y-axis at point L, it indicates that he is buying only commodity Y oranges. Hence, to show that a combination of two commodities are indifference curves should not touch either x-axis or y-axis. Page 51, 2.6.7, Consumer's Equilibrium. Every consumer tries to attain maximum satisfaction by spending his limited income on various goods. The main objective of any rational consumer is to attain his maximum level of satisfaction. The consumer reaches the position of equilibrium where he enjoys the highest level of satisfaction by consuming the best possible combination of two goods with a given amount of income. The position of equilibrium will be indicated by the point at which the budget line is tangent with the indifference curve. Budget line. The budget line shows a particular combination of two goods that a consumer can buy with a given money income when the prices of two commodities are constant. Since this line shows the quantity of commodities that can be bought with this limited income, it is also called budget constraint curve. Below is a diagram which illustrates. The consumer has to buy maximum possible amount of two commodities with his given income. For example, if the income of the consumer is rupees 50 and he wants to buy both commodities X and Y, if the cost of one unit of X is rupees 5 and the price of each unit of Y is rupees 10, then with the income of rupees 50, he can either buy 10 units of X axis or 5 units of Y if he spends his whole income on any one commodity. When we represent 10 units of X on X axis and 5 units of Y on Y axis, we get the points P and Q. If these two points of P and Q are joined, we get the PQ budget line of the consumer, which indicates different combinations of two commodities that a consumer can have with a given money income and the prices of the two commodities. Page 52. Here we've got a diagram which illustrates the indifference map. Indifference map is one more tool to show how a consumer reaches the point of equilibrium or maximum satisfaction. Assumptions. By analyzing consumer equilibrium under indifference curve analysis, the following assumptions are made. 1. The consumer will find out possible combination of two goods on the basis of his scale of preference, which will remain unchanged throughout our analysis. 2. The consumer will have a fixed amount of money income to spend on two goods. 3. The prices of both the commodities will remain constant. 4. The goods are homogeneous and are divisible in nature. 5. The consumer is rational in his behavior and tries to maximize his level of satisfaction from the purchase of two goods. 6. There is no change in taste and habits of the consumer. Below is a diagram which illustrates the same. Page 53. On the basis of the above assumptions, with the help of a diagram, by bringing budget line and indifference map, the consumer's equilibrium can be shown. In the diagram, there are four indifference curves. The point at which the budget line is tangent to the indifference curve, the consumer is in equilibrium. AB is the budget line touching IC2 curve at point E. So, the point E is the point of equilibrium. At this equilibrium point, he is buying OM of X and ON of Y. Though the points G, F, budget line and the indifference map meet each other, these points are on lower indifference curves IC1, and so the consumer will not get maximum satisfaction. He cannot reach IC3 because with his limited income, he cannot reach that point. Conditions for consumer equilibrium. 1. The budget land should be tangent to the indifference curve. 2. The slope of the indifference curve and the budget land should be same as MRSAB is equal to PA by PB. 3. The indifference curve should be convex to the origin. 2.7. Changes in consumer equilibrium. In the consumer's equilibrium, we assume that the income of the consumer, the prices of both the goods and the prices for related goods are constant. But if any of these undergoes a change, then the consumer's equilibrium point also tends to change. These effects in economics are called income effect, price effect, and substitution effect. Below is a diagram to illustrate it. Page 54. 2.7.1. Income effect. Below is a diagram which explains as to what happens to the consumer's equilibrium position when the income of the consumer changes with the other determinants of demand constant. It means the change in the amount of commodity demanded resulting from the change in income. If the income increases, the consumer will be in a better position, and if his income decreases, he will be in a worse position. Below is a diagram to illustrate. Page 55. In the diagram, BB is the original budget line and IC1 is the curve tangent to the budget line showing the consumer equilibrium at point K. When the income of the consumer increases, the budget line shifts towards the right and the new budget line will be CC, and he will move to IC2 and will reach the new equilibrium position at point L. When the income of the consumer increases, the budget line shifts to DD. With the indifference curve IC3 and the equilibrium point will be T. When the different equilibrium points of K, L, T are traced, then we get income consumption curve ICC. The ICC traces the relationship between changes in the level of income and the corresponding changes in consumption and level of equilibrium. 2.7.2. Price effect. The price effect explains as to what happens to the consumer's equilibrium position when the price of one good changes while the price of another remains constant. It measures the change in amount of commodity demanded with the change in price of another commodity remains constant. In the first diagram, E is the original equilibrium position, E2 is the new equilibrium position with the fall in price of good B. Fall in price B leads to rise in demand for the goods. E1 is the new equilibrium position with a fall in price of B. Rise in price leads to fall in demand. If we join E2 and E1, we get the price consumption curve PCC, which explains the relationship between changes in price and the level of consumption. In the second diagram, E is the original equilibrium position. E2 is the new equilibrium position with a fall of price A. Fall in price of A leads to rise in demand for A. Rise in price of A leads to fall in demand for A. If we join E, E2 and E1, we get price consumption curve, which explains the relationship between change in price and the level of consumption. 2.7.3. Substitution effect. The substitution effect explains as to what happens to the consumer's equilibrium position when price of both the goods changes. Price of one rises and the price of another falls. It measures the change in amount demanded of the commodity due to the commodity becoming cheaper or costlier in relation to demand for another commodity. Cheap price of one commodity and the costly price of the other commodity keeps the level of satisfaction of the consumer constant. Page 56. Hence, the total level of satisfaction of the consumer remains the same. So, the consumer will remain on the same indifference curve, moving from one point to another on the same curve. Thus, Hicks explains how there will be a change in the equilibrium position of the consumer when there is a change in his income. A change in the price of one commodity and a change in the price of both the commodities, other things remaining constant. Below is a diagram. In the diagram, E is the original equilibrium position. At E, the consumer is consuming 10A plus 5B. When the price of A rises, and the price of B falls, there will be a new budget line P1, Q1. E1 is a new equilibrium position on the same indifference curve. At E1, the consumer will be consuming 5A plus 10B. The combination may change, but his total level of satisfaction remains the same even after the change in the price of both goods A and B. 2.8 keywords. 1. Utility. Utility is a want satisfying part of the commodity. 2. Marginal utility. It is the additional utility derived by the consumer by consuming additional unit of commodity. 3. Total utility. The total satisfaction derived by consumer by consuming various units of goods in a given period of time. 4. Consumer's equilibrium. It is a point at which the consumer reaches maximum satisfaction with the limited income. 5. Consumer surplus. It is a difference between the potential price and the actual price. 6. Indifference curve. It is a path indicating different combinations of two commodities which yield equal or same level of satisfaction. Page 57. 7. Marginal rate of technical substitution. It refers to the rate at which one commodity is substituted for another commodity. 8. Indifference map. A number of indifference curves collectively constitute an indifference map. 9. Budget line. It is the line showing the particular combination of two goods that a consumer can buy with a given money income when the price of two commodities are constant. 10. Income effect. It means the change in the amount of commodity demanded resulting from change in income. 11. Price effect. It measures the change in amount of commodity demanded with a change in price of another commodity remains constant. 12. Substitution effect. It measures the change in amount demanded of the commodity due to commodity becoming cheaper or costlier in relation to demand for another commodity. 2.9 points to remember. 1. A rational consumer always tries to maximize his satisfaction with his limited income. 2. According to cardinal utility analysis, utility can be measured. 3. According to ordinal utility analysis, utility cannot be measured, it can be ranked. 4. As the consumer goes on consuming the same commodity without any time interval, the utility derived does on diminishing. 5. Consumer's equilibrium position is known to indifference curve, which are the path indicating different combinations of two goods which yield same level of satisfaction. On various points of the same indifference curve, the consumer is indifferent because he is neither better off nor worse off in choosing any of these combinations. 6. The change in income, price of given goods or the change in price of substitute shows an impact on consumer expenditure, and with every change in these, consumer tries to move towards a new equilibrium position. 2.10 References. 1. Modern Economic Theory, K.K. Devath. 2. Modern Economic Theory, H.L. Ahuja. 3. Principles of Economics, M.L. Jingan. 4. Principles of Economics, K.P.M. Sundaram. 5. Economic Theory, Ramani Nair and Irrawaddy. Page 58. Check Your Progress. 2.11. 1. Distinguish between cardinal and ordinal utility. 2. State the law of equi-marginal utility. 3. What do you mean by consumer's equilibrium? 4. Distinguish between marginal and total utility. 5. What is MRTS? 6. State the main features of indifference curve. 7. Define consumer's equilibrium. 8. Explain the income effect on consumer's equilibrium with the help of the indifference curve 2.7.1. 9. Explain how a consumer reaches equilibrium with the help of budget line and indifference curve 2.6.7. 10. Critically analyze the law of diminishing marginal utility 2.3. 11. Explain diagrammatically the law of equi-marginal utility 2.4.